him, verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak."
Two stories of Jesus' healing. Two very different stories, really. But both stories of people who might have felt that there were some barriers, some obstacles in the way of Jesus touching them. Jesus had left Galilee and gone into the area around the city of Tyre in the territory of the Gentiles. There's no reason given for the journey, but it looks as though he was maybe trying to get away and get a little bit of peace for a while. As we've seen in the past few weeks, he was hardly able to move without being mobbed by crowds of people. So he went to Tyre, and he didn't want anyone to know where he was. But he couldn't keep his presence secret. A woman came and begged him to heal her daughter. And I think that the story of the Syrophoenician woman is at first sight quite difficult. We read it and we tend to think, "Oh my goodness, I would never think that Jesus would speak to anybody in such a way." Because it looks as though Jesus, to begin with, is refusing to help someone in need just because she's from the wrong race. It looks as though he's calling her by a racist slur, like the sort of racist words that our modern world has tried so hard to get rid of. But from our reading of the Gospels, we know that that's not who Jesus was. So what was going on? Well, first of all, we need to think about Jesus' mission. He wasn't just a traveling doctor whose job was to cure every sick person that he met. He had a very specific purpose. He was Israel's Messiah. God's people, the people of Israel, had been looking for their Messiah for centuries, and now the kingdom of God for which they had longed was beginning to appear as Jesus, God's anointed king, moved among them. But the message was primarily aimed at Israel first. They were to be the people through whom Jesus' word and Jesus' new life would be brought to the rest of the world. And so Jesus himself and his disciples, at his instruction, limited their work almost entirely to the Jewish people. Well, of course, sometimes other people came along. Earlier in Mark's gospel, Jesus has commented on the remarkable faith of a Roman centurion. And here he comments on the equally remarkable faith of a Gentile woman who lived somewhere to the north of the land of Israel. But why did he seem to refer to her as a dog? It sounds so much like a racist slur. Well, Tom Wright, my favorite theologian, suggests that this was a bit of banter. Maybe he's right. One thing we don't know is the tone of voice in which Jesus spoke. Have you ever received an email or a message and thought that it seemed a bit nippy? And then you looked at it again and you thought, well, maybe it's not nippy, maybe it's okay, really. Because emails and messages can't convey a tone of voice. And neither can these bold words that are written on paper in our Bible. They can't convey the tone of voice, and maybe the look on Jesus' face that maybe softened this conversation maybe suggested that Jesus was being a bit humorous, just referring to the common language of the time. We don't know. Another commentator says that Jesus was probably only quoting a popular proverb. And it's also suggested that the description dogs wasn't as quite as derogatory as it sounded. It didn't refer to the feral wild dogs that would roam the streets, but pet dogs, the loved dogs in the home that would hang about under the dining table to catch the crumbs. Maybe some of you have dogs that do that. So Jesus was saying that he had come, first of all, to the children, the people of Israel. Well, said the woman, but the dogs get the crumbs from the table, so she accepted the premise that Jesus was stating, but she wouldn't be turned away. She didn't try to diminish the rights of the Jewish people, but she nevertheless pressed her case for her daughter to be healed. Here is a woman with great faith and considerable perseverance. She was not going to be put off. She had a great need, and she believed that Jesus could deal with it. Her daughter was seriously unwell, and she was desperate that she be healed. And she was. It's not the easiest incident to think about. But I want to suggest two things. Firstly, I am quite sure that Jesus was not being rude, that he was not using racist language, that he was not devaluing this woman. The Jesus we find in Scripture would not do that. As we saw last week, he could be authoritative. He confronted the self-righteousness of the Pharisees with righteous indignation. He called out wrong teaching and wrong ways of behavior. But when people came to him in need, with hearts that believed that he could touch them, he would never be harsh or rude. He was unfailingly kind and compassionate, always quick to touch and heal. Even when he wanted a bit of peace and quiet, and instead the crowds mobbed him, he never turned them away. He always showed compassion. And we need to interpret this incident with that in mind. And so I also think that he had always intended to heal this woman's daughter. There's a little chorus that we used to sometimes sing with the children that says, Jesus never, never, never turned anyone away. Yes, he had a conversation with this woman about how he had come primarily for the people of Israel. but I don't think he was ever planning to turn away this woman who was in need. Here was a woman who acknowledged that she was an outsider, and yet she persevered. Jesus saw her reply as showing the depth of her faith, and her daughter was healed. Jesus does not turn people away because they are outsiders. Jesus has not just come for the in crowd. One day he said that he had not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Or as the Good News Translation puts it, he'd not come to call respectable people to repent, but outcasts. Have we ever felt a bit of an outsider? Jesus came to all the outsiders. He touched and healed many people who were rejected by society. No one is beyond his love and kindness and touch. So what about our attitude to others? Do we ever categorize people as outsiders? How do we feel about people from other races, other cultures? Maybe people who've come here as refugees, as immigrants? Or might we ever be guilty of thinking of some people as being beyond the grace of God? Jesus never, never, never turned anyone away, and neither should we in deed or words or thought. And in a few moments, we'll continue thinking about people coming to Jesus. But first, let's think about ourselves coming as we sing, "Just as I am, I come broken to be mended." And incident of healing in our passage today is a man who was deaf and mute. Some translations say that he had a speech impediment. Others say he could hardly speak. But again, as we have seen with many people before in our studies in Mark, it was his friends who brought him to Jesus. Yes, crowds of people came to Jesus on their own account. But as we read through the Gospels, we find that many were carried by friends. And here, the friends of this man brought him and begged Jesus to heal him. Praying for others to be healed is so important, and I'm sure that you all pray for people close to you. But we also have a healing ministry as a church. We have a list of people who need prayer and people who will pray regularly for them. And we have a prayer chain. We have people who will respond in prayer whenever a request is sent out. And I wonder if that's something that you could do. Could you be part of the prayer chain and bring other people to Jesus when they are in great need? There are two lists laid out at the back of the church this morning. One is a list of people who need prayer for healing. People who were on the list before won't be carried forward because we need to update our lists from time to time. So if there's someone you want to be prayed for regularly, put their name on that list. And then there's a list for people to sign up to be part of the prayer chain for urgent prayer, to get the message that someone's in need and to pray for them as soon as possible. If you've been part of the prayer chain before, please sign up again so that we have an up-to-date list. And if at any time you want someone put on the urgent prayer chain, get in touch with Evelyn and she will circulate it round. We often talk about how we all have callings, we all have tasks, we all have ministries in church. I wonder if praying for people might be something that God is calling you to do, something that you can do to serve Jesus and to love others. Do think about it. Bringing others to Jesus so that he would touch them is such a hugely important ministry. So here was this man who was deaf and mute being brought to Jesus by his friends. Jesus took him aside and he put his fingers in his ears and he spat and touched the man's tongue. That wasn't how Jesus usually behaved when healing someone. But of course the man wouldn't have heard him speak. So he acted out what the healing would be by touching his ears and tongue. And then he looked up to heaven and said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." And the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened, and he began to speak clearly. The prophecy of Isaiah said, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy." Jesus was fulfilling the ancient prophecies of the Messiah as he healed everyone who came to him. There's nothing in the story to suggest that the man had been deaf and unable to speak from birth. And yet, I think that was probably likely. And if so, would he have wondered if Jesus could heal such a long-standing condition? Would he have wondered if change was possible to something that had always been? Here are two stories of healing: a woman who was an outsider and a man who had possibly a lifelong condition. Two things that could have been barriers in their mind had they allowed them to be. Two things that they might have felt would prevent healing. What about us? Are there barriers in our minds? Is there anything that would prevent us coming to Jesus this morning? We may not need physical healing, but we all need spiritual and emotional healing. Are we ever tempted to think, "Well, that's just me. That's just who I am, who I've always been, who I'm always going to be. I'm not going to change." Or might we think that we're not worth much, not really worth Jesus dealing with? But when we looked at the story the other week of people bringing their friends and putting them in the market square, we saw that everyone who touched Jesus was healed. Jesus never turned anyone away, and he won't start with us. We may not be physically healed. We are realistic enough to know that. But we will always receive his love and mercy and grace. We will always be touched by him and blessed in whatever way our spirits need. Jesus healed, and people were overcome with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." And so this morning, may we come to Jesus for his touch. We come broken to be mended. We come wounded to be healed. We come desperate to be rescued. We come empty to be filled. We come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And we're welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as we are. Amen. And let's sing together.